Hey, this is episode 82 of the Business in Morocco podcast. We've got a really exciting interview with a top-notch entrepreneur from Casablanca. I'm here in Canada traveling right now, recording this from my car. So there's some patchy internet. I need to mute my mic a lot because of the background, but I can relate to our guest Yusuf in that willingness to overcome obstacles, to have a lean mentality and to ship it and to get stuff done. He's an inspiration, so this interview is going to be exciting.
Today, we have a guest who is an entrepreneur, the founder of multiple organizations, including his latest project, which is manufacturing high-end leather goods here in Morocco. So welcome to Yusuf Halem to the podcast.
Thank you, Ryan, for pronouncing my name the right way. And thank you for the invitation.
It's my pleasure. Yusuf, could you tell us a little bit about your background, where you grew up, and how did you arrive at your current business you have going on today?
Yeah, sure. Well, I'm born and raised here in Casablanca, the same house. I'm still living with my parents. I've always been very energetic student, you know. I had high levels of energy, etc. So people, teachers used to consider me like someone who can be of trouble, you know, someone of trouble. When I got into the high school, I've chosen Sciences Math. You know, it's a field that's concentrated on mathematics. And then you can be an engineer after that. So I was very keen on maths. I was even the first in my classroom. And I started thinking about a career in science, in math, etc. After that, I went to preparatory class. Afterwards, I went to engineering school in Rabat to become a software engineer. And in the meantime, keep in touch with mathematics so I can merge both fields and then maybe do some data science or whatever. But at the time, we didn't have these options. So after being graduated, I started working in some companies. But to be honest, I was never comfortable with my professional experience because I never aspired to something ordinary, you know. It was kind of very classic. I never had someone who inspired me. I got bored very easily, and I even started to write my own content at the time. In 2010, you know, I started my own blog about mathematics and computer sciences. That was just a way for me to express myself and to gather a community who are interested with the same topics, you know, in the same topics. So 2 years after that, I went to a bank to work as a project manager. So I spent 2 years there, and to say the truth, I was really, really in a messy situation. I was not knowing what I was doing in my life. I felt a lot of pain, a lot of confusion, and I had to take a decision before it was too late. So I decided that I should look for projects, you know, in Google, how to make money online, whatever. Without being a person who's necessarily fond about affiliate marketing or stuff. I was just looking for ideas, for inspiration. So I discovered at that time Fiverr, you know, fiverr.com. It was in 2011. And that was a terrific idea. I just wanted to do something like that. And I just gathered some friends of mine, and I told them, guys, let's do something like that. But for some reason, we didn't go beyond the third meeting, you know. We were a lot of people, and that was not easy. At the time, I didn't know that it was very important to be a leader, one leader, you know. You don't need people around you to take decisions. But that was my first experience. So experience after experience, I decided at some point that I had to go to USA, you know. I should maybe apply for a grant in Rabat. And at the time, I had a girlfriend who was interested in same career. So we were working together on GMAT and stuff. And she told me, Youssef, I think that you've got a good profile, but you need something beyond your studies in your resume, you know? So that's how I started to do something of my own. So, well, one day I just got an injury in my knee. I said, I stood 2 weeks home and I stumbled upon Khan Academy, you know, in YouTube. I was really inspired. And then I started making my own math videos. And video after video, you know, I just launched my website. It was a very unique concept at the time in Morocco. So it's got a lot of media coverage. I got some rewards and that allowed me to get a good network here in Morocco. But, you know, the main thing that is that I was really passionate about this. I love teaching and I love education. I love talking to people. I love communicating. I love being empathetic, putting myself in the shoes of other people. So that was the project that that represented me the most at the time. So the thing is, I was really, really, really ambitious. I wanted to do everything in the same time. I thought at the time that I had the ability to do this, you know, but just didn't succeed in this endeavor. However, Kezaku is still living today and it's doing really good. Around 4 million or 5 million users every year who benefit from our content. We launched last year a premium content platform that we monetize through monthly subscriptions or yearly subscriptions. An orientation platform that's based on your personality. You can take some examinations, some quizzes, and we can say, we can tell what personality represents you the most, and then we can make some matchmaking with universities abroad or in Morocco that correspond to what you want to do, etc. So Kezaku is it's like my baby, you know, my first baby.
That's Kezaku. Has that been your full-time project, or was that always a side hustle while you were working at banks and other companies?
No. I just left my job. You know, the first thing I left my job, I decided that I should be really, really bold and be very, very sure and confident about what I'm doing. You know, it was sort of call of the fate, you know, it was my destiny, you know, this is the way I always looked at it. And in the beginning, I had a lot of support in the beginning because that was a new concept. So people used to push me, that allowed me to have a few markets, clients trusting the concept, trusting me, trusting the media, etc. So that allowed us to have some funds in the early stage. It was really nice. But I was too much ambitious related to my experience, you know. I didn't know what were my limits and what were the limits of my environment at that time. So, you know, I was like going really in a really nice way, but suddenly I've got a lot of problems and I needed to stop the activity during 6 months, even 1 year, 5 years ago. But after that, I got the energy, I got enough motivation to tackle what I was doing before. And then I met somebody who made my life easy. You know, it's my current partner, it's Ahmed. Since the day I met Ahmed, things got better and better because, you know, in the beginning, you're the one who is doing everything, you know. In Morocco, you will not necessarily find funds in the early stage. We don't have this culture of business angels. So you've got to be aware of that, you know. There are two options. Either you're able to raise a lot of money from your entourage, from your family. That's what we call love money. Or you're a very smart businessman, business person. and you can make a lot of money since the early stage with a simple prototype. You know, you don't need a Ferrari to make money. You just need the sales ability. You know, the sales ability, how to communicate about what you're selling, what's the value that you're proposing to your market, etc. And you can make money very quick in the beginning. But at that time, that was really hard. However, I've shown a lot of resilience about my project, and that was allowing today Kezaku to be the first learning platform here in Morocco. We've even raised some funds 4 weeks ago, a month ago, and now we're preparing a new phase in Kezaku's story.
So Kezaku, Kezaku.ma, you have all types of educational content for all different ages, and the goal is to help Moroccan students do better in school and do well on their BAC?
Yeah. Well, not necessarily the different ages. We aspire to do this in the future, but right now we cover mainly the high school content, you know, every topic in the high school, in every subject you will find the very good content. Actually, in Kezaku, we don't take teachers. I decided back in the day, back in the time, I decided that we needed passionate people who create content. So I didn't find this passion, this fire in the teachers. So I decided that I should trust people like me, you know, at the time, engineers with a good background and with this willingness to teach, you know, and to share his knowledge. So that's our philosophy in Kezaku. You know, about leather goods, it's an entire different story, but that's in a certain way the first chapter, you know, of my my entrepreneurial journey. This is Kezaku.
So your partner is carrying on. Go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah, I had a similar question. You mentioned your partner as being a lifesaver and helping you avoid burnout. What did you see in your partner? Like, how does your relationship work? What does he bring to the table that's made such a difference?
Well, first of all, he's a person of value. It's not a money-driven person, you know? You know, in general, I avoid money-driven people. I'm looking more for value-driven people because these kind of people, they know what they are offering to the community, to their country, to their environment. And they consider things in a human way. Ahmed, for example, he's someone who is very human, very empathetic. He can understand your feelings. He's driven with strong beliefs. He's got his vision of life. He's a person who fears God, you know. And this is a good thing, you know. I'm not giving a judgment about people who don't trust God, who don't believe in God. That's not my interest. But Ahmed was for me a certain sort of soulmate, you know, in terms of business, because I was the guy who was doing everything, and when you try to do everything, you will not do it the right way. So I was doing the content. I was being the leader of the teachers, you know, motivating them and making them create content on a regular basis. I was the guy who brought money to the company. I was the guy who was in charge of the website, all the digital marketing campaign, of the SEO. Oh my gosh, you know, man, that's really enriching for me, you know, in terms of hardcore skills, etc. Hard skills, that's really interesting. But in the day, you've got only 24 hours, 8 hours you go to sleep, you know, so it's just, you've just got 10 hours left for your, you know, working day.
It's not sustainable. You can't make that last for the long term. And that's why you were burning out.
That's it. But you know what, man, you know why I was doing everything by my own? Because I didn't find the environment. So I needed to create one. I needed to understand more. So that was my decision. That was my call, you know. So I did that, and then I met somebody who happened to be a lifesaver. So the guy was running his own digital agency, It was a small company, you know, with a few clients, but he was content with it. He was good. But when he discovered Kezaku and when we met, he just fell in love with the. And we decided to work together. At the time, I was going to Egypt. I was going to spend 3 months there because I had a freelancing job, you know, 3 months, but very well paid. So I needed money at the time. I was in a very terrible situation. So I went there and I told Ahmed to take care of the website, etc. Well, before I went, we had something like 1,000 visitors every day. But after I came back to Morocco, we went to 10,000. He just did amazing job. And when I've seen the result with my eyes, you know, I was so amazed that I told him, you know, man, we're gonna go far together. And 1 year later, he was officially my partner in the paperwork, you know, in the paper of the company. And thanks to Ahmed, I got more time for myself, and then I had the chance of viewing my own future, you know, applying some sort of visual. And that's how I could start my other venture. So I can talk about it later if you want to ask me about.
Yeah, no, let's do that. So you got a partner. Kezaku is still running. It's still available. People can use it. They can sign up for the premium subscription as an educational platform, mostly for high school students, right? But that allowed you to focus on other things. So your new company is called Marathi, Marathi.ma, where you sell leather goods, high-end leather bags and wallets. Although I see that you're sold out of the wallet. So
Well.
Maybe you can talk to us about how did you decide to enter this domain?
Yeah, sure. You know, it's an amazing story. And the story is only beginning, you know, we're only in the few first pages of the book, you know. But last year, well, when I was in Egypt in 2018, critical financial situation. So that's why I went to Egypt, basically. And in the meantime, I told myself, Yusuf, come on, man, you've got a lot of network, you got a lot of skills. Okay, Kezaku is really good, okay, but it's difficult to make money out of an online education platform in Morocco, you know, because it's really challenging. And that was the reason why I was doing it, actually. You know, I just cannot do normal things. I'm not the guy who's going to be passionate about normal things. I just cannot. So I always decide to put the barrier really, 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 really high. So I know that at least I'm going to improve. I'm going to be a better man day after day. So at the time, I was in a critical situation. So I told myself, I'm seeing a lot of people, you know, very average level, you know, making a lot of money out of e-commerce or whatever. So, okay, e-commerce is a nice way to make money. Now let's think about an amazing product. Now, I started to think, thanks to my experience in the startup world, business model Canva, value proposition, stuff like that. And in the time, I told myself, okay, I gotta start with a niche. So maybe, why not starting with MacBook owners? There are people who are, you know, in considerable number. You can target them directly with the social platform. And you've got a MacBook. Chances are you can buy a bag, you know, of $300 or $400. It's fine. It's okay. You take care of your look. You're a productive person, you know. So, and all the environment around that. So that was the beginning. That was the start. I just wanted an easier business. Let's be honest. Kezaku, it's... And that's why I got the skills that I have today. But at the time, I wanted to be more realistic, doing something simpler between codes that at least will bring some cash every month. And then I can be, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio. I can be really creative. I don't care. So I started with my own need. You know, I needed a beautiful leather bag where I can put my laptop, my MacBook at the time, and all my daily essentials. So I asked a friend of mine, Sammy. I told him, man, I need someone who helped me design a bag. He told me, okay, I'm going to give you an information, but you're gonna pay me $1 million. You know, this guy is going to save your life. I told him, okay, man, when I will be a billionaire, I'm gonna give you $1 million. It's fine. So I called the guy, and I designed the first bag, thanks to him. And then what I did is I went to my garage. I love the garage, actually. It's like my sanctuary. I'm a big fan of Steve Jobs. I'm a big fan of all the US entrepreneurs who started from a garage. And I dream of being someone like them, you know, in the future, a Moroccan garage and doing something great in Morocco. So the fact is, I presented my work with my phone. So I told a little storytelling about how I started this business, this bag business. In the time, that was my first brand. It was called Aldabag. In Moroccan language, Aldabag means the workers in the tanneries. You know, Aldabag. It's a name. It's even a name of some families from Fez. And in the meantime, I just wanted to make it concrete that it was a business of bags, Aldabag. You know, so that's why I called it likewise. And you know, the launch was terrific. I just sold 100 bags in less than 2 months because I had the network who used to follow me since a while, who know my values, who know the quality of my work, who know that I am a person of trust. So they trusted me, and that allowed me to sell 100 bags in 2 months. That was amazing for me. I was really excited. Every day I just wanted to score higher than the day before. It was like a game of dopamine, of adrenaline. It was amazing. Yeah, I swear. You know, I just was like a kid trying to score in his Game Boy, you know, really, really. That was really fun. And then something really, really important happened. I had at the time a very smart guy, engineer, working in a big company, etc. He told me, Youssef, your level of energy is higher than the product that you present now. Well, this is a long topic. I will not necessarily dig into this topic, but he told me, Youssef, you should tackle marketing and sales and let me handle the research and development and quality and management. That was like, I was fine with the idea because I knew that I just had 24 hours per day, same reasoning. So I told them, okay, let's do something together. He told me I can even invest money with you. I didn't need an investment at the time, but that's why I told myself, why not? And it happened to be a terrible mistake. But you know what? That was the best lesson of my life. There is no mistake. There is only very good lessons. You know, you've got to be very positive, extremely positive at some point to be a successful entrepreneur, because you just cannot have regrets. No, you've got to learn from each of your experiences. So the guy brought a lot of intellect, a lot of expertise in the company at the time. So we designed more functional bags. We designed higher quality bags. I got in contact with the high level of network, you know, around the leather goods industry. So I learned a lot. We even produced high class marketing videos, and we got featured in BBC Arabic in Lebanon at the time. But I didn't share it because the guy was not okay. We were two different type of personalities. I was a startupper, lean startup, you know, very, 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 very concrete, straight to the point. I want to sell, I want to grow and sell and grow and sell and bootstrap. I don't have any problem with presenting the quality of my work every day because it's just going to improve. But the guy, he was a perfectionist, you know. He cannot present a work that doesn't make him satisfied. So that created a big problem between us. I at a certain point, I just didn't have any income. I had any income. It was crazy. I just could not accept it. You know, people, they look at me in a certain way. I've got a lifestyle to preserve. And I just need to sell, to invest in my company. The guy, he imposed that we don't sell now because I made the mistake. I gave him the keys, you know. I gave him the decision. I gave him the authority. That was my mistake. That was kind of... how to say it, naivety, you know. I was naive in a certain way, but That was a very good lesson. So I decided that I should stop working with him and just give up everything, you know. I just didn't care anymore because my mental health is the most important thing to me. And then this was a serious, a very severe and painful experience to me, you know. And then you got two choices. Either you give up or you reinvent yourself, you know, like a phoenix. And that's true. You know, that was the most painful experience of my life at the time. I was complaining every now and then, like a little baby, you know, crying to his mom, you know. But that was good because that was the growth process. The last summer, I read a book of Stephen Covey, and that book, you know, it healed me. It healed me because it taught me how much responsible I needed to be about my own decisions. How much it is important to be the captain of your boat. Don't let somebody else interfere with your decisions. So I decided that I had to be more stubborn. I decided, you know what I mean. I'm not saying that I don't listen to people, but when you have a vision, when you have your own way to see things, you shouldn't interfere with others. Maybe you will record their feedbacks in order to improve certain aspects of your work, but you need to keep the vision. And that's the thing. So I was with my best friend, another friend, my older friend, Ayub. That's my best friend. And I told him, man, I always get in my Facebook people asking me about the bags, but I don't have any bag to sell them. It's so frustrating, especially that I need to sell. I just want to make money again. So what happened is that he told me, okay, tell me how do you see your next brand? What do I want to do exactly? I told him. I went to several conferences about industry, entrepreneurship, education, etc. And many times I heard responsibles talking about we need e-learning on handcraftsmanship in Morocco, you know? So I told myself that's a big opportunity because I'm in both fields. I'm in Kezaku and I'm in the leader and industry. So I decided that, okay, I can start with the same products as my first brand. Yeah, maybe modifying it a little bit because I'm not a copy paste person. So but the brand, what's the brand value? Is preserving Moroccan handcraftsmanship. And that's why I called the company Mirati. In Moroccan, Mirati means my heritage. So Mirati double T makes it sound luxurious, you know, like in Italian way. And I called it Mirati, and that was really exciting because I just didn't need to think deeper, you know, to go beyond the naming to be really motivated, because I've imagined what the brand is going to look like in the future, and I started working hard. You know, I was running for my life, you know. That was very fast this year. So I decided to call the company Mirati in September, 1st September. And then I started working on the company in November, you know. It's only been 9 months, man. 9 months is nothing in comparison with what we've been accomplishing, me and my team. Mm-hmm. It's just fantastic. You know, okay, what's Mirati today? Mirati is a totally different thing that what I was imagined nine months ago. Today, it's a company which aspires to trigger the best productivity every day of high-profile managers worldwide. So that's the mission statement of the company, you know? And then everything is possible around the mission statement. It's not just about leather bags, because let me give you a secret, guys. We're working on technology within Mirati, you know? Not just tracking technology, it's too basic. We're gonna do it very soon. It's basic, but we want something more glorious, something more inspirational for Moroccan people, to teach them that even in Morocco we can do great things with the right mindset. Because in Morocco we got everything. We got a stable environment, We got skillful people. We've got everything we need to start a company. We just need to be bolder, you know, and go beyond the limits that our brain set to us. So we're today in Emirati, we're raising funds to go global in a few months. You know, we're going to start our activity in another country. I will not say more about it. I'll need to discover in a couple of months. And we also started to work on our own workshops to be able to produce enough quantity every month, because we've got a lot of orders, but we cannot fulfill them all because we're still in the startup phase.
Are those orders, are they all coming from within Morocco, or are you exporting as
worldwide,
well?
Worldwide. You know, we've tested some digital marketing campaigns in certain countries, mm-hmm. but even in LinkedIn. LinkedIn is doing amazing. It's just fantastic. Even if today, I just didn't start speaking in English in LinkedIn. You know, I'm just in French mode, the Moroccan mode, to have the support of my community. Because let me tell you something else. Today, something very important about Emirati is that all the Moroccan people, you know, they are pushing me to go, yeah, go, Youssef, go, keep going. Like the movie, you know, go Forrest, Forrest Gump, you know? Moroccan people, the community abroad in Morocco, they are pushing me. They are helping me. Sometimes it's done for free. People, they just gave me the value I need. And you know what? My communication in social media, in LinkedIn, in Facebook, whatever, it allows me to have a follower base. I'm the leader of skillful people, people who can make gold out of their fingers. They follow me and they propose their service to me, to Emirati. And then I give them the opportunity. And if they show me their ability to be innovative and creative and be as fast as I'm running today, I give them more responsibility and I can give them everything. You know, something important about my way of doing things is values, sharing as much values, as much good values as possible, being true to myself, honest to myself, being coherent. The more coherent you are, the more trustworthy you're going to be, you know? People are not even going to doubt you, you know, because you are coherent. What you say is what you do. It's what media says about you. It's what people say about you. And then you become trustworthy. You can lead formidable people in your team, in your tribe. I call it a tribe because, you know, we're just exchanging values. We're not yet, I'm not yet hiring high profile people. You know, now I'm giving you experience, you're giving me skills, and then customers are going to give us money. We're going to give us value. It's just like that.
So
it's a value equation. Yeah.
Today you have a manufacturing partner. Is that right?
Yeah.
So you have manufacturing partners who are producing your products, but you would like to essentially take over the manufacturing process.
Yeah, sure.
So you can control the quantity and the quality of the product. And so that would be one of your goals for the rest of the year. Can you tell us what your goals are for the next 6 to 12 months?
Sure. Well, next year, 2021, we want to launch a Kickstarter campaign and break some kind of records. So I'm not going to say the number, but we want to enter history. So okay. Let's be ambitious. Let's be very extremely ambitious, because the result is just going to be good. It's good enough.
For our audience who may not know what that is, Kickstarter is a place where you would go and put some products and people would join the campaign by paying you in advance. And then you would produce the products and then deliver them after a certain amount of time.
Yeah, sure.
It's like crowdfunding.
That's it. It's based on pre-orders. And what I find most interesting about pre-orders is that you can dream. You can imagine the most fantastic product ever. And if you can present it in this way and be able to fulfill your promise, that's the best fundraising ever. You don't even have, you don't even need a business angel or an investor. Well, I've got one problem today is that I need establishing my company abroad, you know, in USA or whatever. So maybe we're going to talk about it later because it's something important for my activity and maybe guys, we can do something together in this way.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So you have the intention of starting a company or having a partner in the United States in order to manufacture here in Morocco and export your goods to the United States and sell them there.
And be able to open an Amazon store, Etsy, you know, marketplaces. In Morocco, you just cannot because you're Moroccan, Moroccan identity. Yeah, it's not fair. But you know why? Because there is a lot of people coming from certain countries who do scams, frauds, etc. And that harms honest people like me. But there is always ways to circumvert these kind of things.
This is something that we promote on the podcast a lot, is the idea that everything is available here in Morocco. I don't understand why Morocco imports clothing. You know, I don't understand why there are so many imports of so many things that, that could be created here in Morocco and then exported around the world. So I think it's a great idea. I don't know. A lot of Moroccans may not know, but like you said, you can produce things here in Morocco. And if you have the right partner in the United States, you can ship them directly to the Amazon warehouse from Morocco.
You know, Ryan, it's all that life is simple. Where there is a will, there is a way. And you got to know yourself first. You got to deeply know yourself, who you are. What are your values? What are you standing for? How do you see yourself in the future? It's basic questions, but that they are difficult because people are not able to answer these questions in an early stage of their lives, but they need to focus more about these questions. It's not about business or doing money. Personally, I just don't care. You know, I care about value because money follows value. So I invest because I know by investing, I'm going to learn at least some lessons, you know, that most people don't know. And these lessons make me a better person. So when I'm going to invest the next time, I'm going to invest the right way. And there is another thing. It's the importance of people. People are everything. If you know how to communicate with people, how to federate your own tribe, your own community, you got it all. You got it all. You got it all. Because investors are people. clients are people. An entrepreneur should be socially very smart in order to establish trustful relationships and work on the branding. It's personal branding. So to get back to your Amazon store and stuff, where there is a will, there is a way. If you want it, you're gonna ask somebody who is better than you. Hey man, how do I do this? Okay, you cannot, you don't have time. Okay, I will give you 1% on every sale, okay? It's fine. Okay, please do it next week. And if he doesn't, second call, third call, fourth call, and you're gonna make it happen. It's fine. You don't need to do everything by yourself.
That is a fantastic
as a businessman or as an entrepreneur. Your role is to be you to have this strong will. And that's it.
That is a fantastic piece of advice. And that was actually what I was going to ask you next. A lot of the people in our audience, they want to do what you're doing. They want to start a business. They don't like their job. Maybe they're not getting a good salary. They want to be an entrepreneur. What are the two most important things that you can tell them about your experience or the two most important pieces of advice?
Okay, money. So first of all, know yourself and know what you love, know your passion. This is the strongest power ever. This is a gift. When you know this, you become a superhero. You know, you're able to raise mountains, but you gotta be able to trust yourself. You gotta be able to accept the failure. You gotta be able to accept the mistake because it's part of the game. Nobody succeeded at a certain point without making huge mistakes. It's normal. It's the process. It's the learning. That's the second advice. Third one, be extremely positive. In Morocco, okay, we've got everything, right? But unfortunately, the mindset, it's not like America, you know? It's not like USA. It's far from this. And that helped me personally to be extremely positive. Everything that I get, I find I find a way to see it positively, you know? At least it's a lesson. It's fine. Sure. Donc, be extremely positive. It's important. For people who trust God, put yourself in God. For people who don't trust God, who don't believe in God, believe yourself, okay? Believe yourself. You only live once. So know yourself. That's it. I think that I said it all. It's all about mindset. Given my experience, it's all about mindset, will, a strong will, and being able to learn. You know, hard skills, it's good. Hard skills are good because you're just not going to hire people without knowing what they are doing. At least you are able to understand roughly what they are doing. And the fourth thing and last thing is people. Always choose people who are way better than you. Choose excellent people to be your advisors, your business partners, or employees. You know, like Jack Ma said, he only hires better people than him. So that's a fantastic principle that I'm applying myself.
Well, thank you, Yusuf. That's a lot of great content. You're very inspiring, very encouraging story, and your energy is contagious. We really appreciate you sharing your experiences and your knowledge and all that you've learned starting Kazaku and also now your new business, Marathi. If people want to find you, they can find you on LinkedIn and also go to your website, marathi.ma.
About the website, so people are not disappointed. We stopped sales. And we're coming back in November with the new collection. So I'm going to announce the pre-order in my LinkedIn account. So you can follow me and stay in touch.
Absolutely. Perfect. Sounds great. Thanks again, Yusuf, and best of luck. And maybe we'll have you back on the podcast after you launch your new series of products.
Sure. And it has been a pleasure talking to you guys. And I'm eager to see you to talk directly about more confidential content.
Absolutely. Happy to do that.
See you soon, guys. This was nice.
Take care.
Thanks, Yusuf.
Well, I'm jazzed. I'm excited. I've got tons of energy and motivation after having that interview. What do you think, Ryan?
Yeah, he, like you said in the wrap up, he's a very inspiring guy, and I love his attitude, his mindset. Yeah, if this doesn't work out, I'm going to learn through it. So I'm going to gain the experience. I'm going to gain skill sets. So I can't lose, you know, there's no risk for me. It's going to work out in the end. And so I love his perspective that's allowed him to pursue things that a lot of other people would back away from.
Yeah. And I don't know if the audience caught it, but he did mention that he was deeply impacted by something that you're very close to, right?
Right. Covey. He said it was one of the Stephen Covey books that really inspired him to take the lead and overcome obstacles by kind of being a captain. I hear that too, getting that plug for Stephen Covey and the Seven Habits.
Yeah, and so for our audience, you absolutely have to go to the website. You have to look at these bags and these leather products. They're beautiful. They look amazing. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we'll all be waiting for the next line of products to come out in November. So,
yeah. Yeah, and one other great lesson from his story was just the power of collaboration. You know, he had a really positive experience with a partner, Ahmed, who really helped him with Kezaku and allowed him to take it to the next level. He realized he was burning out and he couldn't do everything. And so he found the right partner that was together. They were able to accomplish more than he could by himself. But then also a negative partnership where the guy's standards were different. He's more of a lean startupper, wants to just ship it, needs to get cash to fund the company. But the other guy is, you know, probably a craftsman that just wants to ship high quality products. And, you know, for those of you who have listened to or read Steve Jobs' biography, that was one of the tensions that he had as well. He wanted to ship these perfect products, but need to sort of find that line where you're shipping quality, it's good value, but you're also making money, especially when the company's young and getting started. So having the right partners is crucial.